Refco's before realizing that they'd left the torque wrench behind in their truck. PTS Team A had already spent 10 hours on the job that day. Everybody was tired, and instead of sending someone topside to get the torque wrench, wasting another 10 or 15 minutes, Powell grabbed the ratchet hanging on a wall near Blast Door 9. The socket fit on the ratchet, and for years PTS teams had used that ratchet instead of a torque wrench without any problems. Powell had done it, Kennedy had done it, just about every PTS team had done it. This time, the socket slipped off, and using the wrong tool could get Powell in even more trouble. "Oh, David," Kennedy said. "David, David, David." Colonel Morris liked Kennedy's idea. They could use a better look at what was coming out of the exhaust vents. But Morris didn't want anyone venturing too close to the silo. Captain Mazzaro approved the plan as well. Technically, he was still in command of the launch complex. After arriving at the site that morning, he'd signed for the missile and the warhead. They were his responsibility, and he didn't want Kennedy and Powell to go near the complex unaccompanied. Mazzaro and his deputy, Al Childers, still wearing their handguns, would go with them. The two officers and the two enlisted men started down the access road in the darkness, carrying flashlights. Sam Hutto's family had farmed the same land for generations. The inscription on his great-great-grandfather's tombstone said, "Pioneer of Van Buren County and Founder of Damascus." The Huttos had come to Arkansas before the Civil War, and the town they settled had originally been called Hutto Town, until another set of Sam's ancestors, the Browns, decided to find a name with a more biblical flavor. Damascus sounded like a place that would one day be important, a worthy rival to Jerusalem, Arkansas, about 30 miles to the east. For decades, life in Damascus remained largely the same, as farmers struggled on small land holdings with thin topsoil. The poverty seemed as unchanging as the landscape. Even the Great Depression didn't leave much of a mark. "We went into, through, and out of the Depression," Hutto's father once said, "and never knew we had one." Despite the challenges of rural life, Sam Hutto thought his childhood was perfect. He was born in 1954, the same year his father quit raising chickens and opened a feed mill in Damascus. Everybody in the community seemed to know one another and be related to one another somehow. Their children roamed everybody's land and hunted pretty much wherever they liked. The feed mill was about 2 miles from Hutto's house, and his parents let him leave home in the morning with a fishing pole and slowly make his way to the mill, as long as he arrived by quitting time. Hutto went to school a couple of miles from the farm, left town to attend the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, spent about a year or so there, dropped out, lasted a semester at Arkansas Tech University in Russellville, then came home. He had little use for the world beyond Damascus. Working at his father's mill gave him a chance to attend feed meetings and conferences throughout the United States, and Hutto never went anywhere that he didn't want to come home from. For years, the Titan II sites in Van Buren County didn't attract much attention. Their construction had briefly provided some high-paying jobs, and the fire in the silo at Searcy had taken the lives of a few men from Damascus. But once the launch complexes were operational, most people never thought about them. Sam Hutto would occasionally see crews in their Air Force blue pickups coming or going from the site near Damascus. Sometimes they'd stop at the little grocery store to buy sodas and candy. The launch complex was just another local landmark, useful for giving directions. You could tell somebody who wanted to visit Ralph and Reba Joe Parrish, head north from Damascus on Highway 65 for about a mile, pass the access road to the missile base, and their house will be the first one on the left. The oxidizer leak in January 1978 was the first sign that having a Titan II in the neighborhood might be a problem. Hutto was working in the barn when he heard about the leak. He was 23 years old, helping his father and his older brother Tommy run the farm. A few years earlier, the family had sold the feed mill and gone into the dairy business. As a milk truck backed into the barn, the driver said something about passing through a bright orange cloud on the way over. Hutto stepped outside to take a look. Their farm was on a hillside about 3/4 of a mile southeast of the launch complex, with Highway 65 running between them. Down below, Hutto could see an orange cloud encircling the complex and slowly drifting south. He didn't think much of it and went back to work. His father, who was chopping wood about 2 miles due south of 47, thought the cloud tasted funny as it drifted past. It gave him a headache, but didn't make him sick. When word spread that the orange fumes had killed some cattle and sent Sheriff Anglin to the hospital, the residents of Damascus began to wonder about the safety of the Titan II missile that sat about a mile from their elementary school. The Air Force response to the leak, the assurances that everything was under control and that the missile was perfectly safe, did not reassure them. Sam Hutto was at home on the evening of September 18, 1980, with his pregnant wife and their 1-year-old daughter. The baby was expected any day. Hutto's father called at about 7:30 and told him to get out of the house. There was another leak or something at the missile site. Sheriff Anglin had gone out there to see what was happening, bumped into an Air Force security officer near the fence, and asked him whether there was any need to evacuate. "Nope, everything is under control," the security officer had said. The sheriff got on his radio and ordered an evacuation of all the homes within a mile of the launch complex. The parishes lived the closest to the site, less than 0.5 mile from the missile itself, and perhaps 25 other homes were within the evacuation zone, mainly on the east side of the highway. To the west of the complex, woods and open fields stretched for hundreds of acres. Sheriff's deputies knocked on doors, and neighbors phoned one another to spread the word. Sam Hutto drove his family to his brother Tommy's house in Damascus, helped them get settled, and then left. It was a bad night to evacuate the farm. The heat cycles of the heifers had been synchronized, and about 20 were ready to give birth. They were grazing in a field right across the highway from 47. Hutto wanted to make sure the cows and their calves were all right. He knew the back roads of Damascus pretty damn well, and felt confident that he could safely make his way to the farm. The Arkansas Office of Emergency Services had been notified by the Air Force at 6:47 p.m.